Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. For the 28th of August, tonight and tomorrow, the 28th and 29th of August, we are in Chapin, South Carolina, with our good friends and meeting in a grace encounter that I hope you are praying for us as we deliver the word. We have had some people contact us that they will be at the meeting that listen to the DDP, so we're excited about meeting them. And we will, of course, video those encounters, and we will air them on our Sunday post for on the website, on Facebook, YouTube, all those places. We'll have those up beginning next week, because this Sunday, I'll tell you about this tomorrow, but this Sunday will be another message from our mobile service. Okay, I'll save that for tomorrow's podcast where I tell you what that message is. You can look forward to the Sunday drop. But for today, we continue, and I think we're going to go on through into September with this. We'll break away for the essay on Monday the 31st, but when Tuesday the 1st begins, I think we're going to just continue this Old Testament stories through a New Covenant lens. I'm having a lot of fun doing that. It's been quite an enjoyable journey for me. That takes us into the book of Joshua, and I'm not doing a study on the book of Joshua, but it is a very fascinating look. It's the first of the 12 historical books. Joshua to Esther would be those books. It's not the law, which would be the Pentateuch of what the Torah of Genesis through Deuteronomy, and it's not the prophetic. It's not the praise books like the Proverbs and the Psalms. So it has sort of a special place in the pantheon. These stories are important, but be careful. And what I mean by be careful is it's not the law being laid down for how Israel is to conduct herself. It is her journey in the promised land trying to figure out who she is now that she's in that promised land. We're about to see them cross the Jordan and go into that land, and that's where those historical books take off. And it's a real roller coaster, because Israel has moments where she is obedient in the land, and then other moments where she's completely disobedient in the land. And those Deuteronomy 28 blessings and cursings start to come into play quite significantly. The reason I say be careful with it is don't develop theology off of their historical journeyings. You don't develop, hopefully you're not developing theology off the Old Testament anyway. But more than ever, start to look at these stories to see what you can find through a New Covenant lens. I want to take you to the story in Joshua 2, where Joshua has sent the spies, and they go into Jericho, and they meet Rahab the harlot. She has a home on the wall, or at the city gate, which is where a house of prostitution would normally be, and they stay with her while spying out Jericho, and she's the one that tells them, look, they're scared of you. You can take this place. But she says, I'll give you shelter and won't tell anyone you were here if you promise to spare me. And they do, but they give her this little caveat. They tell her, if anyone goes out, this is Joshua chapter 2, verse 19, if anyone goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. Whoever's with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And for me, this reminds me very much of a story we skipped when we were talking about Old Testament stories with New Covenant lens, but it allows us to put them together here. And that, of course, is the story of when Israel comes out of the land of Egypt. The night before they come out, they are told to perform what will ultimately be the Passover ceremony. They are to slaughter the lamb, put its blood on the doorposts and the door mantles of their homes. When the angel of death sees the blood, he will pass over them. And they celebrate the Passover then annually as the celebration of the night that they were delivered from Egyptian bondage. The rule there was put the blood over the doorpost and the door mantle. The blood is so that the angel sees that a death has already been exacted on that house. If a death has been exacted on the house, there need be no death in the house. And the rule was stay in the house, because by staying in the house, you were remaining in the place of protection. Then Israel begins her wandering through the wilderness, and God designs the means of her sacrificial system and the tabernacle and gives her the instructions for the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant becomes the place or the source of God's seat on the earth. He literally dwells there. That becomes, wherever the Ark of the Covenant is, becomes their place of heaven on the earth. Wherever the Ark of the Covenant is, blessings follow that house. Just like we'll eventually get into the story of David and Abimelech and how the Ark of the Covenant stays in Abimelech's house. And even though he's a Gentile, he is blessed with the Ark in his house, because the blessing doesn't follow your performance. The blessing follows Jesus. And since God sits on the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the place where the blood is shed, that provides protection for the house. Once again, stay in the house. Stay wherever that ark is. And then in the Joshua 2 story, it wouldn't be a far stretch for these spies to think of the only thing they know, which is, if we bless a house or mark a house, stay in it, it's the place of protection. Well, they do mark the house. In fact, they have her put a scarlet thread outside the window. It's a sign of the blood that was just like the blood that spared those Israelites in Egypt. They were strangers, and the blood spared them. And here is a stranger, Rahab the harlot, and the blood spares her. So we see safety by staying in the house. It's actually the third time we see it. We see it in Egypt. We see it with the Ark of the Covenant. We see it here in Rahab chapter 2. And it tells me, Christ is our dwelling place. I want to read for you a verse that has become quite popular in this hour of quarantine, and it should be quite popular as long, I think, as we take it on through Jesus. It's Psalms chapter 91, verse 1. I'll read 1 and 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. We dwell wherever Jesus is, and as we dwell where Jesus is, we receive what it is that Jesus receives. Whether it's in the house in Egypt and the blood marks our door, or it's the Ark of the Covenant, or it's Rahab's house in Jericho, stay close to Jesus. In every storm, in any area of my own life, it's what I hear the Spirit saying to me. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay in Him by resting in His finished work. I hope that encourages you today. We'll give you another one tomorrow from the Old Testament. See you then. God bless.